You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Old Men Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 106th show, we run and run and run. You get the idea. Running is an activity you might do to catch a bus, or it might be your regular activity. We all have running stories. Look back when you were forced to run, or freely chose it. Just move along with the story, maintaining at least a jogger's pace, and create a old man story.
Good afternoon, everyone, from Fremont, California. It's Old Man Stories. I'm Jeff Young, and Roland Willits is here. And today, we are starting off the new year off and running.
Yes, we are. Running is... Well, I don't run very much anymore. You know what, my wife said to me, Jeff, I said, well, I did my run. She looks over and said, do you call that running? I said, what are you going to call it? She says, maybe shuffling. So when I have gotten older, my new definition is running / shuffling.
So every day you're shuffling?
Every day I'm shuffling.
Anyway, before we kind of run away with this topic, I did have a joke I'd like to share. The road up to the place I'm living has been under construction, finally. It was a bit of a twisty road with a sheer drop-off. And over the past several months during the fall and early winter, they've had somebody running new drain pipe down the road. So they'd have to tear up the road and get in there and lay new pipe in there. And at the end of the day, they'd fix the road by putting new blacktop over it. And you drive down that road on the right side with the fresh tar, and you'd get this crackling sound when you drove over. Every day for weeks. And then the winter season set in, and you stop seeing them. Now, there's this sign that they put up on the side of the road that says, loose gravel. And they've stopped working on the road for several months. And so last night, as Master Storyteller Laura Davis and I were coming back from the grocery store, my thought was, hey, that sign's still there. Is there still loose gravel? Not really, but the sign's still there. And Laura said, well, they never picked up the sign. And I said, oh, I understand. The sign didn't show up until after they were pretty much done. So the sign was kind of on back order. And I said, just in time for the new year is what you call an old lag sign.
That was terrible.
Anyway,
I loved it.
That particular road is a notoriously difficult challenge for the runners who live around our area. And as long as the weather is halfway decent, you will see runners and bicyclists taking that road because it's got a bunch of switchbacks and it's all uphill. There's a closed road at the end of Crothers Road that you can go past the sign and no cars will bother you. And you can go all the way to the bottom of Alum Rock if you want to go uphill or downhill all the way. And this is kind of going to the theme here, actually, which is part of the reason for the joke, is that every morning, or most mornings, I see one of the new couples that moved into the apartment complex running. And it'll be the husband, the wife, and this baby carriage that is one of the newer style racing ones, not the old stroller style, but no, this is a big Eastern Mountain Sports style tent over the baby kind of carriage. And one of them is always pushing the baby carriage while the other person is running beside them. Sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. But I always think to myself when I see them running by, as I'm going to my car to drive to work, man, I need to get them running more. Because if they can do this every day, rain or shine, with or without their partner, and bring their kid along, that kid is going to grow up to be a runner. Now, you can easily say, I don't run. Because, well, I don't. Most of my day is I get out of the house, I walk to the end of the street where my car is parked, I drive to work, I get out of the car, I drive in to, well, after driving to the parking lot, I walk into the building, climb up the stairs, and go to my office, and that is the extent of my walking for the day. But then I realized that when I first started working professionally, back in when I was much younger, and we had a very long hallway down the hall in the building I used to work in, I would run from my office to the printer, just sprint. I would run from the elevator to the office of the person that I was trying to interview for technical information. I would run everywhere. It wouldn't be a long run, but it would be running. And occasionally, I'd almost run into somebody. And I got grumped at a few times by some of the professionals that worked in the building. And the answer was, hey, you're young. He's young. He does this. It just shows his enthusiasm. And I remember my very first job working in the library. And the librarian who was in charge reproved the other library pages because she said, I never see the two of you come down the stairs at all. You're always upstairs hanging out and not doing very much. But Jeff I see all the time. He's always running up and down those stairs and running back and forth with the books. He never runs out of energy. In retrospect, years and years and years later, I have to wonder, what the heck happened to my energy and why don't I do this anymore?
I'll tell you a story, Jeff, about an old man that got totally out of shape, like a young man that I'm talking to. And this old man, when he was about 63, decided that he was going to get in shape. Now, as you've heard by my wife's story, I don't no longer run. I shuffle. However, I shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said was, I am going to set up a progressive run process. I found all my life that if I go out and I say, I'm going to get in super shape, I'm going to run. I run about three times and then I find a reason not to. So what I said was, when do I continue running? When do I continue exercising? Well, I continue exercising when it isn't a lot of work. When I do it and I say, oh, that was easy, I can do that tomorrow. Then I do it tomorrow. But if I look at this, oh, that's so exhausting, and I got to do it tomorrow, then I somehow find an excuse not to do it. That seems to be a process that went on in my life. Well, I look at those things and I say, how can I overcome it? So I, in my infinite wisdom, said, I'm not going to run as far. Now, I mean, that doesn't seem reasonable. I said, I'm just going to run a little ways out. I'm going to run 50 steps. Then I'm going to run 50 steps back. Shuffle. So that's what I did. I said, I can handle that. It's all right. I said, well, you know, one of the things that I notice in exercising is when we run, we get lower body exercise, but we never get any upper body exercise. So I said, I started moving my hands, but I said, well, that doesn't feel right. So I put weights in them, and I had these little three-pound weights. So I had a little three-pound weight in each hand, and I would do it. So I'd run out 50 and come back 50. Well, each week, I didn't overdo it. I would add about 10 steps. And after 3 years, I was up to 200 steps with my 3 pound weight. Well, after 4 years, I was up to 260 steps, and I had turned over to 5 pound weights. Well, now I'm at 1,000 steps with 5 pound weight every day. And it's all easy, so I do it the next day. So this is something that you should look at when you exercise. Exercise so you don't mind doing it the next day. Yeah?
Now, to be fair, just because I don't run everywhere anymore doesn't mean that I don't exercise. I chose different things to exercise with instead. And for the past 3 years, I've been taking Zumba dance classes, and I've tried exercise and weightlifting classes. And I regularly, at least once a week, get out of the house and go geocaching, which is essentially you drive someplace and you wander around. Sometimes you have to climb up inclines and hike into the forest. And I have been picking geocaches that are further and further away from what they call park and grab. Like I'll say, okay, this weekend I'm going to go to this particular park. And I'm going to start by dropping off my car in the middle of this area. And there are geocaches 0.5 miles that way, 0.4 miles that way, and 0.3 miles the other way. So in order to get back to the car, while getting all three, I have to go out and then back, and then out and then back, and out and then back.
Cool.
And I will do this until the sun sets, and I have to go home because I can't find it anymore. Running, to me, didn't have a purpose because, well, the farther you run, the farther you have to run back. And there's always this sense of, if I run too far and get too tired, I'm going to have to limp back when I'm done. And I don't know if I want to do that. And master storyteller Kat Welge essentially blew my mind when she was here last year visiting by, despite the fact she didn't know the area, she decided that she wanted to walk down the hill into town and find out just what restaurants we had there. And it was dark, and she called up about 45 minutes later saying, "Hi, I would have made it all the way back, but I stepped in the hole and twisted my ankle. Can you come rescue me?" She had walked 2.5 miles in a direction without worrying how she was going to get back. And her thing that she wanted to do was to get in this thing called Zombies Run, where she was in a training program to essentially run in a competition while running away from zombies, because that's one of her things. And it's pretty popular these days, the whole Zombies Run competition. Personally, I'd rather be a zombie myself, because that's kind of fun to me. I used to work in haunted houses, and one of the things that we did, Laura Davis and I, when we worked the haunted house as performance artists, was a little hidden skill when you're working outside with the crowd is being able to run. Because when they're inside the haunted house, there is one place for them to go, and you can't leave your room. When you're outside, it's fair game. And you see the customer that you have successfully scared take off running. The rest of the crowd absolutely loves it when you can take off running after them. And I am built for both speed and endurance. And there are many a times where some person who wasn't really built for running would take off running, and I just chase after them, overtake them, and get in front of them, making them stop. And they turn around and run back the other way. And I would spend 3 hours on a shift just scaring people into running randomly, and I got my exercise that way, and that was a lot of fun because everyone goes, "Run! Get him!" Depending on whose side they were on. But more often than not, I would be able to outrun everybody and anybody because I had all October to practice. So running for me has to have a goal. Roland.
You've caught me. I got suckered into that lecture. But I loved it. I love lecturing, so it wasn't really a sucker move because I got the opportunity to lecture and to tell a good story. Yes, you do a lot of exercise. That's cool.
I miss fencing.
Fencing is really a good exercise.
And matter of fact, maybe this year I'll see about getting back into it again. I have the equipment. It's just a matter of finding the space and finding someone to fence with. And it has been one of my aspirations and hobbies, like this one of those little pipe dream things, to find someone who I can go out by the pool in the park, in the park complex, and fence by the side of the pool. Just do that. Just to weird out the neighbors.
You want me to show you how? Take your two, what do you call the thing? What do you call it? The sword, that sword that they...
Well, it depends on the sword. It's either a foil, an epee, or a stake.
Foil. Yeah, I thought of the word foil. Take two foils out there and sit in dry practice. Okay? And if someone comes out, say, oh, I'd always want to learn that. You automatically could get someone that would participate with you.
Oh, I know. And I've done that before. Because I used to be the teaching assistant for a fencing club.
Oh.
At one point during the summer when I was taking fencing. But what I'm looking for is a partner, someone who will...
As good as you.
Who will do this regularly with me. It's like none of this pickup thing. It's someone who I could say, okay, dinner's done. Let's go out fencing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I understand.
And that is one of my... dreams that I want to do.
I have the same thing with swimming. You know, I love to swim in the summertime. And I take my Sea-Doo and I go out to the middle of the lake and I go swimming. This is a story I've told you. And I always look for someone to go swimming with. And there just aren't players. And I go out there and I go swimming and I usually get saved. I get saved at least three times a week. Someone will come out and say, are you having problems? You're in the water and your Sea-Doo is not running. Can I help you? I say, no, I'm swimming. And they said, well, you don't have a scuba flag. I said, well, I'm not scubaing. I'm swimming. I think all the flag would do is attract people. So I got a story though that I'll tell you about running. Just a short one. When I was young, I got a job over at the local National Tea. The National Tea is sort of like Safeway or Public. It's just a store part, like the store part of Walmart, the grocery store. The National Tea, the fellow hired me as a manager, and I was totally enthusiastic, and he was a sort of a driver. And he'd come to me and say, Roland, when you take out the groceries, run. When you come back from the parking lot, run. There's a lot of groceries, and you got to handle. You're usually the only bag boy in the whole store. So I ran back, and I ran forward, and I did it for about 5 months. And I guess someone complained a little because he came to me and says, "Roland, you get promoted. You only have to run in back in again." So my promotion at National Tea was, I only had to run back in from putting the groceries in people's car. So that was one of my lifetime running experiences.
Very cool. I think maybe the reason why we stop running everywhere is because we've decided at some point in our lives to slow down, whether voluntarily or involuntarily. But for some of us, the older we get, the more we run. And this is a bit of a shout out to my younger brother's significant other, Mindy, if you're listening, who apparently had just finished a 5K run recently because my younger brother, Steve, has been a runner for years and he came out to visit me with her, and that's how I got to know her, because he was out here doing a run thing and he would come out and just kind of see the area and drive up and down Big Sur and show her the places that he used to run and stuff. Because there are a number of very beautiful West Coast runs, marathons, half marathons that are out here that people do. And he had gotten into running for whatever reason. I never asked him why, but he's been into the running thing ever since. And he just enjoys this. And I like the fact that he's got a partner in life that has gotten into it with him. So the point is valid. Having the reason to run, sometimes it's just a matter of having someone to run with. Having an exercise partner is motivation for you to do the same. And when you run by yourself, it's a lot less fun. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to talk with. And maybe someone sees you running, and maybe they want to run with you. And just kind of as a little side note, my cousin Michelle, I remember at one point she had gotten with her shoes and everything, and her friend walked in the door, and she said, "Hey, you want to go jogging?" And she says, "Well, I just got here." She says, "That's okay. I'm going jogging. You come with." So having a partner is probably a key element of what makes people better runners. But it's a matter of practice. And it's a matter of wanting to get that, whatever you want to get out of running, whether it's to get into shape or lose weight or something. And since we're at the beginning of the year, a lot of people take the resolution to do more running. On the other hand, there are people who take the resolution to stop running around so much. Because running is the connotation of why you do it, and whether it's a good thing is based on whether you feel it's a stress or not. When I say I'm running around so much, I don't have any time for anything else, that just means I need to slow down. Maybe I'm not literally running, but then maybe I am. I know that the most recent run I had to do this year was running from one end of the Dallas-Fort Worth airport to the other, because I had gotten off the plane and I had 8 minutes to get to the next gate. And I realized that running for pleasure is fun. Running with a backpack and carry-on luggage, imbalancing you while you're running, dodging around people. I don't know how OJ did it, but when I got to the other end, I felt like I was going to faint. But I made it just in time for them to say, "Okay, we're delayed. We'll be boarding in a few more minutes." Like, man, that was horrible.
Yes, I've done that. And when I run, at my age and weight, or shuffle, it is, and you have to do all those airports, it is a real super chore. But they don't care, you know, they just sort of run their airlines the way they run their airlines.
Well, supposedly they build in time for you, and they will wait for you if they know you're on a connecting plane. I don't know how true that is, because I've never missed a connecting flight, except for the time I canceled the plane completely. But I can say that in all the years I've been flying, I've always managed to make it to my gate with plenty of time to spare.
I have too, isn't it? Yeah. And I thought I was going to miss a lot of time. Yep.
I don't know anyone who's ever missed a flight, or rather missed a flight because they didn't make it to the gate on time to know what happens. But I can certainly say that there have been days where I see that little cart they drive around with the people on it and the getting you from point A to point B in the airport. And sometimes I think, I would love to ride on those one day, but that day is not today.
I have ridden on them.
Are they fun?
Yes, it is. It's so much fun riding on them and going by these people, especially the ones that are really in a hurry. And you're sitting on them and riding along. I've done them where I had like huge distances to go. And Terry and I, you know, both had to make it there, not just me. So I would prearrange to have someone waiting there for us and get on the cart and get a ride to the next spot. And it is nice. I normally, if I'm alone, I try to tough it out. But when she's along, she doesn't mind walking fast, but she's not a runner. And she has a tendency when you go by some place to get distracted and go and visit. I have a story about a real super runner. We were at Lake Okeechobee. We got a couple seconds here.
We got the break coming up.
We were at Lake Okeechobee. We saw this sign saying finish line in front of us. We were at this marina. So we thought it was fishing. And all of a sudden we got up in the morning. It was about 9, 10 o'clock. We're sitting outside having a cup of coffee. And all of a sudden this young man came running, and he had a number on him, and he came running by the finish line. And he came sort of right by. I waved him over, and I took out a chair, and I had him sit down, and I got him a cup of coffee. And he only wanted water, so I got him water. So, and we sat at time. I said, what did you run? He says, I just ran around Lake Okeechobee. Well, Lake Okeechobee is long. I mean, it's 100 miles, 120 miles, something like that. I said, you're kidding me. He says, yeah, I'm a marathoner, 24, 48-hour marathoner, 36-hour marathoner. Wow, he says, I'm in the super contest. I said, super contest? He says, I'm in this national contest where we run like 36 or 48 hours. And he said, on this particular race, he says, you're not going to see anyone coming in for another 8 hours. And we didn't. We sat all day long, 8 hours went by, and then the next runners started coming in. But they ran all the way around Lake Okeechobee. And you got to get these. I mean, and we sort of kept track of them. He still sends us emails of some race he's in somewhere in the world. He goes to all these different places in the world and runs. So they still have runners around now, and he was just absolutely awesome. Jeff?
I got to say that's amazing. But we got to run for the second half, so we'll be back in a few more minutes with more Old Man Stories.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Men Stories, the episode on running. And during the break, I did the research, the Lake Okeechobee Scenic Trail Run, or LOST for short, is 118 miles, or 189 kilometers. Since the average marathon appears to be 42.1 kilometers, you're running almost, well, actually, four marathons in a row in order to go around the lake, which I can see why it would take so long then.
I mean, the guy was awesome. It's like you said, amazing. A lot of people, when they run, their whole body locks up. They can't even move when they get somewhere along the way. But it takes absolutely extraordinary techniques and exercise to be able to run those distances.
Yeah, and I hear people who, they run one marathon and it basically burns them out for a week or so. And the trendy thing is do just a half marathon, which is essentially one half the distance, or maybe a little bit less. And there's people who just do a five kilometer run or a 1 kilometer. It differs in whatever goal they set for themselves, which brings us back around to the front of the whole New Year's resolution and running. And I've been looking up websites and ideas and running, and the conventional wisdom says don't go out tomorrow and expect to run an entire marathon when you haven't trained. If you're new to it, don't even try running. Just walk. Build up your endurance. Build up your speed. Build up your ability to do so. And before, since we have a long survey today, I'll just say one last thing. There's a difference, huge difference between a marathon runner and a sprinter. And last week when I did the research for this show, I learned that a marathon runner is not a sprinter, and vice versa. And if we have time after the story, I'll explain why a little bit more. But Roland, tell us about our storyteller for today.
I'll let us go into it. I did an interview. I called my nephew, Rob Willett. And Rob runs. But he said he had a friend coming over that was a coach. So I said, oh, well, let me interview him. And then I interviewed him on Skype and picked up the voice. And it was a little different for me because I haven't done it that many times. But here is Chris Goble.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
Did Robbie tell you a little about me?
He just told me that I'm being interviewed about running, and that's about it.
Oh, wonderful. That handles it. Well, I'm his uncle.
Okay, awesome.
His old uncle. And
I'm in California, right?
Yep. I missed your name again.
I'm Chris.
Chris what?
Chris Gable.
Chris Gable. How's that spelled?
G-O-E-B-E-L.
Okay. That's a different spelling.
Yep.
And he put me on because he said, are you his trainer? Are you teach running?
I teach elementary school, but I coach cross country and track.
Oh, okay.
For the high school in Mora.
Oh, in Mora, Minnesota. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, wow. And how did you get the credentials for that?
I ran cross country and track in college.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yep.
You have any trophies?
Well, I did all right. I qualified for nationals 1 year. I was a couple all-conference awards. I was conference champion in track 1 year in an event. But, yeah, I did okay.
Wow, that's really cool. How long ago was that?
I graduated from college in 2001.
Okay.
So 2000 was probably my best season.
Was your best season, huh? Oh, wow. Well, that's good credentials to bring in and get to the local high school in Mora.
Yeah.
Is that where you live, in Mora?
We live in Cambridge here. We are neighbors to Rob.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
So where do you go to college then?
I went to Concordia College in Moorhead.
Oh, okay. So your Rob went there, didn't he?
No, I think Rob went to the U.
He went to the U. No, he went to one of the Catholic schools for a while, I think. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he went to the U at Duluth.
Oh, he might have went there too. Yeah. Could be.
So, see, I'm a old Tommy. St. Thomas
nice.
College. Yeah. So I that's why I noticed Concordia.
Yeah.
Because I used to wrestle some of the fellas
okay.
there.
Cool.
Way back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
So tell me about your training with these high school kids. Do you work them out as hard as you worked out when you were going to high school?
Well, when I was going to high school, I coached very similarly to how I was coached in high school. A lot of the bigger schools in Minnesota, they'll have their kids practice in the morning and afternoon. And, I just have, because we're such a small school and these kids are involved in a lot of different activities, we just practice after school and, we really rely on, summer mileage. The kids really know that if they really want to get better, they have to run a lot in the summer. There's only so much we can do with them during our actual season. But we've had a lot of kids buy into our summer running program, and that's really what's been successful for us.
So you teach cross country, and then do you teach, you know, sprinting in that also?
I mostly stick with just the distance kids in track.
Oh, okay, and that's what you did too, right?
Yep, and that's, yep.
And how long are those courses normally? I forgot now.
In cross country?
Yeah.
In Minnesota, our boys run a 5K, and our girls run a 4K. So the girls run about 2.5 miles, and the boys race is 3.1 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a super distance, is it?
No.
But it's they really have to work to get in shape.
Yep.
You got to run a little faster, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
How does your school look this year?
How does my team look? Or
yes.
Well, our cross country season ended in November, and my boys' team made it to the state meet. 16 teams out of Class A make it to the state meet, and my boys' team has made it 8 years in a row, which is quite a feat. And my boys' team finished seventh at the state meet.
Wow.
And my girls' team at our section meet, which is like our regional meet or our district meet, we finished third and missed going to state by one place. So.
Oh, okay. You were close, though.
We were close. Our girls' team was very close, yep.
And how many kids do you have on the team?
We have about 60 kids out for cross country. That's boys and girls in grades 7 through 12.
Wow. That's quite a lot. I don't know if we had that when I was going to school. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah. No, that's a good number for a school our size. For a school our size, Moore's got a really big team.
What's a school size? How many kids?
About 130 kids per class.
How many per grade?
130 per grade, about.
Well, is that all?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, you got about 1,200 kids, don't you?
Yep.
Actually, no, you're only going through, you're only getting about 900, about 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
Wow, but you got 60 kids out of 1,000 going on running long distances. Wow. And how about you? Does it take out of your life now that you're doing this? Does it interrupt any of your home activities?
No, I mean, I see it as a built-in workout for me, going to practice every day, and I run with the kids, and then it really just keeps me in shape throughout the year, and then in the summertime is when I do my own training and my own running for me. So, I see it as kind of a built-in workout, a way for me to stay in shape myself.
Oh, that's cool. Do you run with Rob?
I don't technically run with Rob. We've done the same races together. But
okay. So which ones did you do together?
What have we done together? We did a Warrior Dash 5K together once, and he did the Mora 5K, and I did the Mora Half Marathon. So.
Cool. And, I never did run long distances. That was a spring activity.
Uh-huh.
And you do it through November. That's strange because we used to only do it in the spring when I was going to high school.
Yeah. Well, cross country season is from August, the middle of August to the first week of November. And then track season starts here in March, middle of March to June.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're doing right during football season.
So we do cross country. Yep, cross country running is the same time as football.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're pulling kids away from football.
Well, I'd like to think it's kids who wouldn't be in football now have something else to do.
I agree with you 100%. You know, you have to be into, want to be brutalized to be a football player.
That's right.
I was one. I understand. So, when you run,
mm-hmm.
Do you have nice scenery up there to run, you know, run like lakes to run around in that?
Well, not so much where we live in Cambridge and Mora. Cambridge is better. Cambridge has, I don't know, it's just bigger, so it has more options. Where Mora, we're pretty limited where our kids can run in Mora, just because of, we got two major roads that we don't really like kids to cross. But Cambridge has more area. It's definitely not the best place to run in the world. It'd be a lot easier living in the Twin Cities area, because there's always people running around the lakes in the Twin Cities area, but we don't really have anything like that in our area.
Oh, okay. How about when you go running for yourself?
When I go running for myself in Cambridge, I can probably circle the town and on an 8-10 mile run and pretty much circle the whole town. It's okay. It's definitely not the most exciting place to run in the world.
Okay. Do you travel and like run up by Lake Superior or do stuff like that?
No, I really don't. I mean, if I'm in the cities, I will run with some friends or something in the cities area around the lakes or whatever. But I do almost all my own personal running is done in Cambridge here.
Oh, okay. Because I remember when I was down in Florida, they were running around Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah. Cool.
And so I thought maybe you went up to Lake Mille Lacs and ran around it.
No, the best lake trails are definitely in Minneapolis area, where Lake Calhoun, Lake Harriet, they've got great trails around the lakes there, and it's real easy to get motivated to run because there's always people out running, and all shapes and sizes are out running around those lakes.
Yep, they got some pretty girls running around there, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And so your dad do this?
My dad ran a little bit in high school. He ran cross country a little bit, but I played football in 7th and 8th grade and just never really got into cross country. And then I broke my arm and couldn't play football as a freshman. And then my sophomore year of high school, I decided to go for cross country, and it stuck with me because I got out there and I was pretty talented right away. And so we all like to do things that we're naturally good at. So it was a good fit for me once I tried it.
Wow. So you get to train kids and you get to do something you really love. That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
And how long have you been doing this now?
I've been the head cross-country coach for 11 years.
11 years? So you started right out of college almost, huh?
I pretty much did, yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's great. And the 8-year record is all under your tutelage, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's been pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That's spectacular.
Yeah.
So what do you have to say about a kid? Why would they want to go out and beat themselves running 3.5 miles?
We have a lot of our kids run because of the kids that are on the team. We just have a great, great group of kids that run cross country in Mora. They're really the leaders of the school. They're involved in a lot of different activities, and we talk about running is important, but I really stress to them that there are other more important things in life than just running. And I stress to them, I really talk a lot about academics and how important those are, and it's just been really fun for me as a coach to see running change people's lives once they decide to come out and try it.
Because they see success there, it helps them in school, gives them a win, right?
They see success, and a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't really believe they can do it, and then we just work them into it slowly. And next thing you know, they're doing things that they didn't think they could do, and they kind of take that mentality then and go on with the rest of their lives and really accomplish things that maybe they didn't think they could do at one point.
Yeah, it gives them some wins. That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
So what stories are you going to bring when you're an old man about this?
About this? It's going to be the letters from the kids that I get when they graduate. and just how running has changed their lives. I got a letter this year from a girl who I coached in high school, and she just ran her last college cross country meet ever. And she, wherever she was running, somewhere in Missouri, she sent me a picture of herself wearing the Mora cross country jersey, and that she kept when she wasn't supposed to. So she joked with me about that. But she said, I'll never forget all the memories that Mora made for me in cross country and how it just changed her life. And she was really sad to run her last cross country meet ever in college. And she wanted to make sure she had that Mora jersey with her because of all the memories she had from Mora cross country as well. It's stories like that that are gonna, that I'm going to pass on and talk about.
That is a wonderful story. And
yeah.
I thank you immensely, and I look forward to potentially meeting you again and get Robbie going. He might even listen to one of my radio shows.
That's right.
Robbie's my, by the way, is my nephew. Everyone, so.
Uh huh. Cool.
It was sure nice talking to you. Bye, Chris.
Nice talking to you.
And there you have it. The idea that when you run, sometimes what you need. It's just the inspiration to do so. And it's kind of neat that he was inspired to run by his instructor. He took those lessons and he passed them along to the next generation of runners. And he just runs as a goal, runs as a hobby, and runs because it's a thing for him. So for your New Year's resolution, even if you're not going to be running, at least set yourself a goal of walking at least a couple times a week. I mean, you may not seem like much, and it may not have to be much. But just get out there, because one of the points of running is to spend more time outdoors, seeing just the itty-bitty bit more of the world. And I can say that last year, I deliberately, well, not deliberately, but when I was up in Oregon visiting for work, I took the evening on a nice August evening, and instead of staying in the hotel where the air conditioning was great, I picked 3 geocaches that were within walking distance of the hotel and walked all the way out of the hotel in the hot weather, got all hot and sticky, found my geocaches, climbed up the stairs, down the stairs, and around, and then walked all the way back to the hotel, took a shower. But I had gotten my walking for the day done, and I had gotten my exercise.
You could have ran, you know.
Oh, I did. I did the next day.
Did you run? Okay, I'm just joking.
I ran the next day. Because I was late getting from one panel to the next, and I didn't stretch out enough. So I definitely got my exercise that day, too. But the day after that, it really hurt to go places.
Oh.
So that's a good tip. If you're going to run, or even just going to walk, if it's just a stretch, warm up. Don't do it cold, like I did with the airport. And I regretted it for 3 days after that. It's still exercise.
It does work you, so...
One other thought on that. If you find that exercise is not a challenge, and this is something that my Zumba instructor passed along, if you're bored with your exercise routine, change it up. Do something else or on top of it, like Roland said, add weights. Or just simply push harder. If you don't find that walking challenges you, like Roland said, run. If you find running doesn't challenge you enough, run with weights. The point is that you get better with practice. You get better with time. You're improving your health, your physical endurance, your strength, your physical condition. And if your doctor has said recently you need to exercise more, find an exercise that works for you. A lot of people, maybe it's not running. Maybe you have knee problems or ankle problems. But I'll tell you this, a little secret of mine. When I was 13, I sprained one ankle and fractured the other one. And that did not stop me from later in life getting into the haunted house where I would chase after people for fun. It did not stop me from learning how to fence because that was a lifelong dream that I had ever since I had seen The Princess Bride. And I wanted to be someone who could say, I'm not left-handed as a fencer. And I chose to fence left-handed because I had that fractured ankle. And the fencing lunge, if you fence right-handed, would roll the ankle every time. So when I was in college and took fencing, and I tried fencing right-handed. I said, this is painful. Can I fence left-handed? And they said, are you left-handed? I said, no. But my ankle bothers me when I fence right-handed. They said, okay, that's good enough reason. Here's a left-handed foil. And so I fenced left-handed ever since.
Wow.
Mind you, that has nothing to do with running.
I know, it has nothing to do with running, but
it's exercise.
It has to do with moving fast.
Yes.
You could run to the session.
Oh, you start off the warm-up for fencing by running around to the outside of the gym.
You remember when you were young, did you ever go on a sports like baseball or?
No.
And all the sports, I did baseball and football, and the first thing the coach would do when you started the season is he'd have you run around the field.
Yep.
And they'd run you and run you and run you, and you said you couldn't quite figure out why they had you running to play baseball. You know, because at that age, at least for me, I never stopped running. I was always moving. I remember we had every place, you know, it, right at the park. The park is right next to us. And we would always be over there running back and forth and up and down hills and round and round and round and round. Or if we went to the lake and we started out late, we'd run all the way to the lake, which is about 2 miles away. But when we got to baseball, you wanted to play baseball. And what they did is they took the whole team and they ran around the field over and over. I think that's where I started not liking running that much, because it wasn't any fun.
Well, it's time for us to run, because we've run out of time. So thanks for joining us. See you next week with more Old Men Stories.
Yes, and we have to run right now. Catch our bus.
Being a runner doesn't mean getting there faster in an age of cars and trains and bicycles. Yet, it is the only speedy method of transport that doesn't require special equipment except a pair of shoes. Why do you run? And what's the hurry about telling the story that goes with it? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.